All right. It is 8:55, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And without further ado, by the way, we're at Crest Cars today. How many books we got left, Craig? Not many.
Not many. By the way, I'm keeping one for myself because I read mine on my iPad.
Yeah.
I don't have anything from Hank. I want to get a signature. You can have him sign yours?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got it right here.
Yeah.
Okay, with my own grubby two hands. Okay, so he is here at Crest Cars, and we got him for two wonderful segments. So let's get right to it. So has your skin got a little bit thicker over the past couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I mean, when I was teaching Tiger, people used to tell me I had thin skin. And, you know, one of the things is that I don't think any human is born with thick skin. Everyone has thin skin, and you develop thicker skin so with the experience. And I've had a lot of experience, especially the last week, and my skin is getting thicker and thicker.
Yeah, so your PR department is working overtime.
Yeah, it's been good, and we're having some great success so far with the book, and very excited about that. So it's been a lot of fun.
So how many did they do in the initial print run?
A lot.
A lot? You can't say what it is?
No, but it is a lot, yeah.
Okay.
So we get the second print pretty quick. So let's just start with, we're just going to hit everything.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. Go for it.
So way back when, you did a remote with us at another place, and you showed us on your cell phone all the text messages and all the emails from Tiger.
Yeah, text messages, yeah.
Yeah, you had every single one.
Well, yeah, I had a lot of them for sure.
So my question was, because a lot of this book is it's almost like a diary. So I guess the question begs, were you always thinking about writing a book, or were you going to use this just for your own personal memento?
Yeah, the messages I showed you, though, and the ones that are in the book were all messages that I sent. You know, and there's not any text messages from Tiger that are in the book. I think there's one where when I resigned. But other than that, there isn't anything from him. It's all stuff that I had sent to him, so I wasn't really sharing his text messages. But, you know, you don't really think about writing a book until you have an opportunity to write a book. So as soon as I had an opportunity to write the book, then I thought about it. But, you know, you keep mental notes, and it was a great education for me. You know, having the opportunity to work with Tiger Woods for 6 years is a dream come true for any instructor. So I'm having the most incredible learning experience as I'm going through these 6 years, and I'm keeping notes, and I'm keeping mental notes, and I'm thinking about, you know, all the ways that he's different and what an incredible competitor he is and what a complex person he is. And I thought, this is like just a fascinating study. And then I had the opportunity to write a book, so that's when I really, you know, thought about it. I mean, until you have that opportunity, you don't do it.
So did you approach the publishing company and say, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book, or did somebody come to you and say, how'd you like to write a book about what happened?
No, my agent approached him.
Your agent did approach him?
Yeah.
And when you go to sell this book, and part of the thing, I believe, if you read the book, you'll really like it. There's a lot of insight. If you haven't read the book, it's really easy to glom onto just the gossipy high points or low points, whichever way you want to look at it. But there's got to be a point when your agent approached the publisher, and then the publisher is going to ask, okay, is it going to be all golf? Is it going to be, can you have any other insight to the Tiger Woods background? And then do you have to start weighing how much I want to divulge? And the publisher says, well, now we need a little bit more than that, Hank. I just want to know about the backswing and swing planes.
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, I mean, this is a really big book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this book will be very successful. So, I mean, we could have gone to any publisher and, you know, pretty much made our own ground rules. And I went to Random House, which is considered to be the number one publisher. And I told them, I'm not going to write a tell-all book. I'm not going to write a book about, you know, Tiger that gets personal. If I'll talk about, you know, anything personal, it's only where I feel like it pertains to his golf. And, you know, I kind of set the ground rules going in, to be honest with you. And they never, you know, asked for more. I mean, obviously there's plenty in the book. And the book, you know, when we turned the book in, they said, we'll probably have some suggestions and, you know, you'll need to add some things and everything. And we turned the book in and they said, this is fantastic. And we didn't change anything.
So let's get into the premise of the book and writing the book. Okay. So you've taught a lot of people in your lifetime of being a great golf teacher, and got a major winner in Marco Mira before you even took Tiger. But he was really a different breed. I mean, probably from the day and one, we have an excerpt in Avid Golfer of the first time you you taught Tiger. He's different.
Yeah.
He's really, really different. Absolutely. So let's you go through that first time where you went there and you said, okay, I'm teaching a guy who's completely different than anybody else I've ever taught.
Yeah, I had known Tiger since he was 16 years old when he played junior golf and was friends with the Keeneys, who I taught, you know, as they were growing up. And then I saw him at Stanford when I was coaching at SMU. So I'd known Tiger, and obviously he was friends with Mark O'Meara, so I knew him through Mark. But then when he called me up and asked me to help him, obviously it was the most incredible opportunity that a teacher could have. And when I went there the first time, I showed up, and he was standing in the driveway. He was waiting for me to get there, and he was ready to go. He had his clubs on his cart. And the first thing he says to me is, he says, you know, there's three things you teach that I don't agree with. And I thought, wow, you know, this is...
But that's all I got.
This is good. Yeah, that's all I got. Exactly. I said, this is going to be an incredible experience. I mean, I just thought to myself, wow, this is going to be different, and this is going to be an incredible... I don't know how long this is going to last, but this is going to be a great experience. So that was the first day I went to teach him.
How long did you predict he was going to last?
I didn't really know, and I was just... you know, confident in my ability, but I didn't know. I know Tiger's kind of, he wasn't going to go through this whole media thing of hiring a new coach and then get rid of him in a couple months. Yeah. So I figured that I had a little time. And I went in kind of naive, so I thought, you know, he's so good, I don't really have to tell him much of anything. I just have to, you know, just kind of tell him hardly anything, and he'll just win because he's always won, and you know, everything's going to work out. And then he didn't win, and he didn't win, and he didn't win. And you know, that went on for, you know, he was finishing top 10. I mean, he finished top 10 after 2 weeks of me helping him. So this notion that it's always taken him 2 years to get things going is not really accurate. He had a lot of top 10 finishes. After 2 weeks, he was finishing the top 10, but he wasn't winning. And then that went on for, you know, 6 months. And then, obviously, you know, I realized that, during that time, you know, I need to help him because I'm going to get blamed anyway.
Yeah, you're in the hornet's nest.
Yeah,
definitely.
I might as well just get in there and just do what I think needs to be done and help him. And then I did. And you know, obviously it worked out, you know, great for both of us. I mean, there's no, you know, I mean, the success that Tiger had while I was helping him was, you know, incredible. He won 45% of his tournaments the last 3 years I helped him. And you know, when you look at Jack Nicklaus winning, I think, 12 to 14% of his tournaments, I mean, that's, you know, 45% is an incredible number.
Okay, so as you've been on all these different interviews, by the way, we're talking to the great Hank Haney here on the tee box. We're at Crest Cars today. We're at about 9:30 or so signing books. The last chapter, I think, was maybe more controversial than anything else in the book because it...
Well, first, tell people what
it
was.
Yeah, I will. The critics will say it was a knee-jerk reaction to, I have to show everybody how great Tiger was with me. Well, the record kind of speaks for itself. Did you really need to put that last chapter in there that listed every stat and why Tiger was better with you than Butch or anything
else?
Well,
I mean, I just compared records. I didn't, you know, I mean, I didn't frame it as, Tiger was better with me than Butch. I framed it in the fact that I really hadn't ever thought about how Tiger had done or added it all up, if you will. The name of the chapter is Adding It Up. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that as you're going teaching Tiger, you realize that it's only about what you're getting ready to do. It's nothing about what you've done. I illustrate that in one chapter where Tiger tells Elin, we don't celebrate victories like this. And that didn't have anything to do with Elin. It didn't have anything to do with their marriage. It had everything to do with Tiger putting victories in the past. And as his coach, that's what you had to do, too, because I realized that even when he won, I mean, that just gave me, you know, a couple-day reprieve, if you will. So as you're going through this whole process, you don't really enjoy it. You don't really even know how you're doing. At the end, when I got done and people said, well, you won this many tournaments with Hank, I didn't even know what that number was. So I wanted to add it up. And I knew that some people might have the view that, that you just expressed, Rick. Mm. And I was okay with that, to be honest with you. Because when you say the record speaks for itself, I mean, it does, but it hasn't. You know, it does, but it hasn't. Because you don't hear about the record that Tiger had. You know, so much while I coached him. And, you know, honestly, when it was all said and done, you know, I really like that chapter. There's more to that chapter. I predict how I think Tiger's going to do in the future. Mm-hmm. But that chapter was fine. And I knew some people would have the view that you just expressed, and it might be a little bit of a negative view, but I didn't write this book thinking that everybody was going to think that, you know, everything in the book was positive, or I, you know, there's a lot of people that think I shouldn't have written a book. So, honestly, if I had any worries, I put them behind me very quickly when I decided to do the book. Mm-hmm. But if I did have worries, the least of my worries was the last chapter.
Did you, were you ever wondering why Mark Steinberg or anybody else in the Tiger camp didn't ask you or demand a non-disclosure agreement signed by you?
You know, that's a good question, but they didn't. So, I never had a contract.
If they would have come to you in the middle, so you taught him for what, six years?
6 years, yeah.
Somewhere in the year three.
Yeah.
They'd have said, you know what, Hank, we've messed up. Need you to sign this.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a hypothetical question.
Yeah, in hindsight, have you ever signed an NDA for another student before?
Uh-uh.
So that would have been different anyway.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, it's you know, that's the question that everybody's asking, but
I'll bet there'd be more signed now.
Well, yeah, it probably will be. But you know, the thing is I've been, you know, highly criticized by some people for that. It's interesting though. I mean, everyone wants to know about Tiger Woods. They ask about Tiger Woods. If I come on with you guys in the past, you want to talk about Tiger Woods.
Sure.
And then, you know, I write a book to talk about Tiger Woods, and everyone's, oh, he shouldn't have written a book. But it's okay to ask me 100 questions, you know, and you can't wait to hear the answers. But so you know, that's okay though. I understand. I have no problem with people having a different opinion than me on this subject. But we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, when it's all said and done, I felt like these were my memories too. These are not just Tiger's memories. He doesn't have an exclusive on them. He doesn't have a patent on them. They're my memories too. And, you know, I had a front row seat to greatness. When you have that kind of situation, you're always asked about it, and I wanted to talk about it. And, you know, I think I would feel much different if I was the only coach that had ever written a book.
Yeah.
But, you know, Phil Jackson wrote a book, and, you know, Joe Torre wrote a book, and Tony La Russa's writing a book, and John Wooden wrote a book, and Bill Walsh wrote a book. And, you know, there's just this long, long line of coaches that have written books. And my question is, I guess, is, you know, did they break the code too?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so question I have for you on this. You stated what you made with as a teacher for Tiger.
I stated what Butch made, and that I was paid. So it didn't surprise me that I was paid the same.
Yeah. So $50,000 a year.
$25,000 for each major win.
And $25,000 for each major win. Which I think some people might be surprised. Is like, you're teaching Tiger Woods, you're making $50,000.
Well, plus the amount of days he had to be with him.
Yeah, it was 100 days a year.
110,
yeah,
right?
So,
yeah, 110 days a year, you know, during a time when he made $100 million a year.
Right.
But having said that, I mean, $50,000 is a lot of money to a lot of people. And, you know, I was happy with the opportunity. I mean, I can honestly say that never for a second did I ever think, you know, well, you know, I should be paid more, or, you know, I would have paid Tiger to teach him. And that really, you know, is the bottom line.
That's a telling thing.
And there's other benefits to that, too.
Oh, there's huge benefits to that. So
the Crocs golf sitting on your shirt right now.
You told us the last time we did a remote with you that...
Oh, the shameless plug, by the way.
You treated Tiger not as making income. It was a marketing expense.
Yeah, every touring pro teacher relationship is a marketing expense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at it that way, and obviously I've been very fortunate, and I've been very blessed in my career, and, you know, not the least of which is having the opportunity to work with Tiger Woods. So how much I got paid was really not relevant. But, you know, I included it in the book just to, you know, kind of frame the book and parts of the book. And part of Tiger's greatness is that he's very, you know, he's self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes with his greatness because he's playing an individual sport, and it's really him against the world. And every great, you know, individual performer is self-centered to a great degree, and Tiger was, you know, exactly that way. So that's really why that you know part is in the book.
All right, we're talking to the great Hank Haney. It is 9:10 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are at Crest Cars today. We have a few books left. A lot of people already came by. And to you come by, you get them signed by Hank, and everybody will be happy. Up next, we'll ask him
the process of the book in a little bit of hindsight.
Yeah, all that next on The Ticket. It is 9:19 on The Ticket T-Box out at Crest Cars, crestcars.com, and we are at the Infiniti dealership on the Expressway and Parker in Plano. Hank Haney is gracious enough to join us today, and he is signing books. We have a few left to give out, and if you've already bought the book, which is Hank is most appreciative, he will sign it. And he'll be here till, what do you think, 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got a book. Where's your book signing at today?
I have one at Golf Galaxy in Louisville.
Yep.
From 11 to 1, and then another one at the Dick's in Frisco from 3 to 5.
Funny name.
What are you laughing at that for?
I always laugh every time somebody says it. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so you take on Tiger, and we're talking about his book, The Big Miss. And I got to think, even though everybody in, it doesn't matter the endeavor, it doesn't matter if you're a golfer, you're a golf teacher, you're a teacher, whatever, you got to think you're better than everybody else because it's a tough business. But Tiger, he was already good.
Oh, he was great.
So you really had nowhere to go but either to maintain, and if anything fell off, you're the villain, right? Because he's going to blame you.
Well,
or somebody is.
Exactly. That's why in the last chapter I outlined how he did. Certainly one of the reasons. But, you know, I thought to do better than he did while Butch Harmon helped him was going to be very, very, you know, difficult. Certainly the year he had in 2000, you know, that's just not likely that's ever going to be matched or beaten. He just played so good. That was certainly, I think, the best year anybody's ever had with winning all those majors. You think that. You think, well, you know, I think there's some things that I could help him with and help him improve. But then, you know, you get in there, and it's never as easy as you thought it was going to be. Now, when I took that job, Butch Harmon said to me, he said, Hank, he said, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks. He said, good luck.
And this he was right, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And he said, and this is a tough team to be on. So,
you know, have you heard from Butch since you wrote the book?
You know, we text back and forth. I mean, Butch's always been incredibly nice to me, and he's you know, just an unbelievable teacher, and just, you know, such a professional you know, person. But he's really one of the good guys in golf.
You were asked a lot. Every TV commentator, I watch a lot of golf, and they'll look at Tiger's swing in 2000 when he was immortal. He was ridiculous. And everybody always says, well, why doesn't he just go back to that swing?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he need a new swing?
Well, you know, one of the reasons he needs a new swing, and it, you know, I talk about it in the book, is that I really think that he's his most motivated, he's his most dedicated, he's his most stimulated, if you will, when he is working on something new.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to change. He likes to do things. He doesn't like to stay the same. When Butch said, you know, all we have to do now is just maintain Tiger's swing, I mean, that's like the last thing he wants to hear. He wants to hear about what he needs to do to get better. And he's just like that. He's like that with everything. When he first learned skiing, we'd be riding up the chairlift, and he goes, okay, this next run down, I gotta try to get my right leg more in like this, and I gotta turn more like this, and I gotta really work on getting on my edge. And, you know, he's talking about all these things. This is just the way he is. And he never wants to stay the same. He always wants to improve. And once he feels probably like he's heard everything that he's going to hear from someone, you know, it's kind of probably time to move on. And I saw this with his workout routine too. Keith Clevin, his trainer, is a good friend of mine, and he would, you know, have him doing these different workout routines. And I told Keith, I said, you got to change these things up, because if you don't, he is going to go do his own thing. And when he does his own thing, you know, we got problems coming. So this is the same way he is with everything. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of his greatness. I never looked and said, you know, why shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't change, or why does he change? I never thought about that. I thought, you know, this is part of the reason he's so good. And I talk about it in the book as it's like a solved Rubik's Cube. You know, if you change one thing, it might change the whole thing. And so I never viewed anything about Tiger, to be honest with you, anything, you know, that maybe some people would think is out of the ordinary as necessarily being bad. I just viewed it as part of the package.
So knowing that, it seemed like you had a really good grasp of what you needed to do to keep Tiger happy.
Well, I mean, if you're a coach, I mean, that's part of what you have to do. I mean, I had enough of a grasp to make it through 6 years.
So it seems like the whole imbroglio and the whole Tiger scandal,
mm-hmm.
that was more of the reason of the beginning of the end for you being his teacher than anything.
No, I mean, the beginning of the end is the first day you start, because there's a time period to every coach-teacher relationship. I mean, nothing like...
Sorry for that little mishap. All right, Hank, so let's get to the tough questions. So I'm going to ask you, you're doing okay financially, right? I'd say you're on the Golf Channel. You got all sorts of names on your shirts and everything. And as I'm looking at the criticisms of the book, and again, if you've read the book, the criticisms are a lot less.
Exactly.
But the one thing that people say is, I can't believe he's doing this for money. It's a money grab. He sold out his student for money. And I'm thinking, given where you are in your life right now, do you ever think about just saying, you know what, I can get rid of all that objections. Any money I make on the book, I'm just going to donate to charity. And that gets rid of any issues of anybody. Now you can't criticize me. I just wrote a great book about a great guy.
Well, I mean, you know, people are going to criticize no matter what you do. I mean, if I, you know, donate money to charity through the book, they're going to criticize me anyways. But honestly, you know, you're exactly
right.
How's that? I mean, I have been very, very successful in my life. And one thing that I'm very, very proud of and very comfortable with, and I've been, you know, very blessed to be able to do, is I'm very comfortable with the amount of money and the amount of time that I do give to charity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not something that when I go to sleep at night, I have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. When you saw you said there was never one thing that kind of was the beginning of the end with you and Tiger. Kind of seemed like it was starting to be around 2010 Masters. I mean, there was a point where all of a sudden things maybe came to a head and...
Yeah, it was long before that. I mean, I had been thinking about, you know, when the end was going to be, you know, long before that. Yeah.
So when you said
long
way before,
before that?
Yeah, when? Yeah. So when did you start getting inklings?
Oh, I mean, you know, this was a very difficult job.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you experience great things. And, you know, you start thinking, you know, I mean, I wonder when this is going to be, you know, time to go. And it just slowly builds up. I use the analogy in the book. It's like the, you know, the frog in the pot. You know, if a frog jumps in a pot of hot water, it immediately jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
But if a frog jumps in the pot and the water's just tepid, and then you turn the heat on, it will stay in there until it dies. And when I finally resigned, I realized that I've been in that water a long time. Yeah.
And it's a habit.
And it got really hot, and you know, and luckily I got out.
You're going to the Masters next week. You may see Tiger.
That's probably not going to happen. I'm not thinking I'm going to be in his gallery.
No, but you know, you guys could.
I'd be a little uncomfortable.
Well,
at
some point you may cross paths with him.
Sure.
And I know you don't have any hard feelings on your side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you talk, you say, "Hey, I had a great time, a great experience. He was a great student. I had a great relationship for 6 years. He doesn't think the same way right now.
Well, we don't know how he thinks, but most likely he probably is not very happy. And his agent says he's not happy, and obviously, you know, that's probably the same feeling with Tiger. But, you know, the one thing that happens, and this happens a lot with you know, not just Tiger, but other people, when you have a business relationship that's also a friendship, and when the business relationship comes to an end, things get very cloudy at the end. And they get cloudy, you know, especially with Tiger. And you see, you know, the relationships that he's had with, you know, Butch Harmon and Steve Williams and with me, and everything tends to get pretty cloudy at the end of the relationship. I certainly, you know, feel great about the opportunity that I had. I feel very great that I wrote a fair and honest book. I think if Tiger reads the book, he says he won't, but he reads everything. So I think he will. And when he does, I think he'd have to say that in his heart of hearts, that's an accurate, fair portrayal and very honest about what happened for 6 years with me as his coach.
Did you, you and Stevie talk, it's in the book, you guys discuss a lot of things. Did you ever have a premonition of who was going to end the relationship first? Was it going to be you or Stevie that was going to be the end of the road?
That's a good question. I mean, when the scandal happened, it took Stevie, you know, down a lot harder, to be honest with you, because Steve was really good friends with Elin. Steve's wife's really good friends with Elin, and you know, Steve's he's a different guy, and he's a tough guy, but deep down there's a real soft side to him and a real honorable side to him, and he didn't like the fact that people thought that he knew about the scandal, and it really was tough on him. So I really kind of thought that you know, he was going to be the one that went before I did, but then it just turned out to be the other way around. You know, he wanted to hang in there a little longer.
Your book is definitely taking the guy. What is it at Amazon today? It's like 5 or something like that, 6 bestseller going right now.
Yeah, I think it's pretty doing pretty good.
Pretty darn good. So you've got a lot of accolades, you've got some criticism, you've got a lot of notoriety, good and bad. Looking at back at now, you sit back, you have a little cognac, a little cigar, whatever.
I don't smoke and I don't drink, but
oh, bummer.
But I'll have a Diet Coke.
You gotta do something.
You mean you went on Piers Morgan and didn't have a drink afterwards?
No, yeah.
Okay, so any wish of a do over during any of this process?
Because
you gotta have something,
even,
right?
Don't think about it on a macro side, Hank.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is there like, hey, you know what? Those 3 pages, because we all do that.
Right.
I could have done that maybe a little better. Or I could have done it. Anything you said, if you did a version 2. Anything you'd have changed?
That's a great question. I mean, I spent over 120 hours working on the book before we first turned it in. Jaime Diaz helped me with the book. And I spent 120 hours or so with Jaime when we first went over the book. Then when the book got turned in, then they edited it, and then I spent another 80 hours editing that book. I read that manuscript, at least 8 times. And I can honestly tell you that, you know, I don't want to do over on anything. I'm very happy with this, with what's in the book. I put so much time and effort into this book. You know, those that know me know that that's kind of my style. But, you know, I just I'm really proud of what's in there. I'm really happy. There's nothing that I would change. You know, I woke up, you know, many, many mornings with my head just spinning, and I got to take this one thing out. It just doesn't sound right. It's just, you know, I don't need to go there. It's too personal. It doesn't really have to do with this golf. And there's a lot of things that I took out. There's a lot of things that I left out, but there's nothing in there now that I would ever change. I really like the book, and the feedback that I'm getting from people that read the book is just incredible. So it makes me feel really good.
So you're a writer now.
Yeah, and
you're gonna write another one.
Hopefully, well, I mean,
you got other stuff. I mean, you taught another major winner, a 2-time major winner, same year.
Well, if you know, I'm hoping to build my resume as a writer. I'd like to see how this book does, and then we'll kind of go.
How this book does? Look at this place. It did all right.
Okay,
I think it's doing okay.
So enough of that part. So you got you actually got to do the audio version.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's your voice, right?
Yeah.
I always wondered about this. Had Tiger ever heard the fake Tiger?
No, he'd never heard the fake Tiger.
Never?
He'd never heard the fake Tiger.
I figured he'd know everything about
everything.
Well,
when you think that he listens to everything or reads everything, man.
Well, he doesn't live in Dallas, though. But, you know, he doesn't go on the Internet to tell. But if it's something that's in a magazine or just, you know, on, you know, ESPN or something, he's going to see it for sure.
Which is interesting. So you taught him for 6 years. Did you ever have a time where you sat with Tiger and you just had an absolute belly laugh? You guys were just having such a rip-roaring fun time? Because we don't see that as a public.
You have fun with Tiger. I mean, he's a guy that's fun to be around. But I can't remember the rip. You know, yeah, we had some laughs. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's a little closed off, though. I mean, he's a lot closed off. You know, you've read the book, so you understand how he is.
Aren't most superstars, though, over a period of time, you almost have to be to survive.
That was my point. That was my point. I talked about in numerous chapters. I mean, you kind of have to be that way, and it's all part of the package.
The great Hank Haney, thanks for joining us here today. We're at
Crest Cars. How about giving him a hand? Thanks for coming out.
Crest Cars here in Plano. He'll be here for a couple more minutes signing because he's... You got some signing to do here, bud.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much. And I know the book is good because I got Craig to read it, so that was good. Or you got Craig to read it, one of the two.
Actually, you know what I did?
You know what?
You know what I did? I read it to him. I put him on my knee, and I said, Craig, chapter one.
I will say this. I wasn't going to read the book because I've talked to you so much. I got it. But all the things that were written about it and you being a friend – more of a good acquaintance, but I had to. I just looked like, this isn't fair. I know Hank. I got to read the book. And it was a much better read because I'm not a technical guy in the golf swing and everything. I don't want to read about why I'm slicing. I just don't. It's why I don't get Golf Digest. But it was a damn good book.
Thank you.
I would recommend it to anybody who's into who likes Tiger. Right?
Yeah.
And you read
that's
because you like Tiger.
Saying. People are saying to me that I was a Tiger fan. Now I'm a bigger Tiger fan. So, you know, you wonder what his agent was so worried about.